Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said this, Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Look with me in verse number 8 for the sake of time. I really need to read the whole chapter, but let's look at verse number 8. The Bible said, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. And look what they said. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. His head is the most fine gold, his locks are bushy, and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves, by the rivers of water washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. Look at verse 16. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Today is Family and Friends Day at Amazing Grace, and I want to call your attention into verse number 16. She said this, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. And I want to preach just a little while this morning on this thought. This is my friend. Father, I love you today. I pray over the next little bit, God, that you would help us today. I pray, God, that you would use us as we preach today. I pray, God, if there'd be anybody here lost, God, that you'd save them. Anybody here out of your will, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd bring them back close to you today. And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise, to give you the glory, and to give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, I want to look into this verse and preach on this thought. This is my friend. Whenever we study Song of Solomon chapter number 5 in verse 2 through 7, the bridegroom comes to the bedchamber of his bride and he is seeking his bride. He is wanting to talk to her. He is wanting to fellowship with her, but she is fast asleep. As you continue reading it, you'll find that he attempts to make entrance and he's not able to, and he ends up going away. As he goes away, the bride realizes that the bridegroom is gone, and she gets up, she makes her way to the door, and whenever she realizes that he is gone, she makes this charge in verse number 9. She said, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, or in verse number 8, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. What she is saying is this, that I am madly in love with him and I would like to spend time with him. Now, can I just make a simple application right here this morning? How many times does Jesus come to us and Jesus wants to spend time with us and Jesus wants to fellowship with us, but we find ourselves pushing Jesus to the side? We don't have time for him. We have time for everything else. We have time for this, that, and the other. But to spend time with our Lord and our Savior, so many times we find that we just simply don't have time for it. So she goes to him and she says, hey, look, I've missed this opportunity. I really want to find him. I charge you to help me look for him. Now, it's very interesting what they say in verse number 9. Here's what they said. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? What they're saying, Brother Randy, is this. Why is he so much better than everybody else? Are you with me? What makes him so much better than everybody else? What makes him so great that we should drop everything we're doing and go search for him? What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? They said, why should we drop everything we're doing to find their beloved? She goes on to say this in verse number 10. Note what she says. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. You know what she's saying? She's saying this. He's really something. Can I just say it that way? He is really something. There's something extraordinary about my beloved. Whenever I read it, I like to think that's the way that Leslie talks about me. Kevin grunted right then. I know that's not the way Nicole talks about him. But she says, my beloved, he's the greatest. There's none like him. He's the chiefest among 10,000. I think about Brother Jim and Miss Vicky. No doubt that's the way Miss Vicky talks about Brother Jim. There's just nobody like him in more ways than one. I began to think about this, and there's an application here this morning, church, of our beloved Jesus Christ. And whenever we sit back and we look at him, how many times do we tell somebody this? Boy, you need to be saved. You need to accept the Lord as your Savior. You need to make him king of your life. And they say, well, why is he so great? What is he that is above anybody else? Why is our God the God, the greatest God? There's nobody that you can liken him to. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Well, can I just show you verse number 10? She talks about this by way of introduction. She talks about his purity. The white, and whenever you study this, white is the color of purity, and ruddy is the description of a person in the bloom of their health. In other words, she's saying this, he's pure today. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ today, can I just say something about him? He is pure today. Here's what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Hebrews said this, that he was without sin. 1 Peter said this, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. When we think about Jesus Christ today, hear me and hear me well. He is pure today. There is none like him. He's pure. She goes on to talk about him, and she says this. She not only talks about his purity, she talks about his position. Verse number 10, she says that he is the chiefest among 10,000. Whenever I read that, my mind went to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. When David is brought back with Saul, Jonathan and David make a covenant with each other. And in verse number 7, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000. I read this week study, and let me read it to you. We stand with the Apostle John on eternity's shore in Revelations. We see the throne of God high and lifted up. We see God himself seated there, surrounded by the full throng. We see one step into the spotlight of glory, purer than the crystal stream that flows from the throne of God. It is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb of Calvary. As he takes the scroll, the title deed of the planet Earth from him who sits upon the throne, the heavenly hosts burst into song. There are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of them, and Jesus is the chiefest of them all. From then on, the Lamb fills the book of Revelation. And in chapter number 5 alone, he is mentioned no less than 4 times. But as it goes on, you'll find that in the book of Revelation, the Lamb is mentioned 28 different times. The Lamb is all that the glory of God and the glory of heaven is pointing to in heaven. Why? Here's the reason why. Because of his position. He is the chiefest among 10,000. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God today. So she looks at him and she says, the reason you need to help me seek after him is because of his purity and his position. She goes on and she says this in verse number 16. Stay with me, and here's what I want to preach for just a minute this morning. She said, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. That's such an interesting statement. You know what she's saying right there? Here's what she's saying. I can find nothing wrong with him. I opened that bottle of water and seen Bailey sitting there. Did anybody see that video the other day of that bottle of water exploding on Bailey? I'm sorry. I know I lost half the church right there, but I about busted out laughing when I turned around and seen him sitting there. Here's what she's saying. I can't find nothing wrong with him. He's altogether lovely. In other words, as I look at him, all I can see is his holiness, and all I can see is his beauty. Boy, my mind runs to Revelation this morning, where those fault-finding beasts are flying around the throne of God, and they've got eyes within and eyes without. And here's what they say: holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. You know what they're saying? He is altogether lovely today. You say, well, I don't understand God. He's altogether lovely. I don't understand where I'm at. He's altogether lovely. I don't understand what I'm going through. He's still altogether lovely. He's never made a mistake. He never will. He's never messed up. He's never will. He's altogether lovely. She said, he's altogether lovely. Look, his mouth is most sweet. Yeah, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved. But this is the phrase that caught me. This is my friend. She said, this is my, she said, he's not just altogether lovely. He's not just the chiefest among 10,000. But she brings it very personal. She said, this is my friend. This is my buddy. This is my pal. Are you with me this morning? Can I just say something to you this morning? I'm glad he's my friend today. Oh, yes. There'll be a day that he is my judge. Somebody say amen right there. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But can I say something to you today? I'm glad that he is my friend today. My dad said this, and I'm going to give you a little acrostic of this word friend and we'll go home. But my dad said this. He said, a friend is someone, a true friend is someone that knows everything about you and yet they still love you. Amen. They know everything. Honestly, we have very few friends in this life. Now, I know some of y'all going, man, I just brought some friends today. But do they know every thought that goes through your mind? Matter of fact, if you're real honest within yourself, probably the spouse sitting beside of you don't know every thought that's been through your mind. Are you with me this morning? And Daddy said, a true friend is someone, Brother Randy, that knows everything about you, and yet they still love you. Can I say something to you this morning? There's one that knows everything about me. He knows every thought I've ever had, every thought I ever will have. He knows everything I've ever done wrong and everything that I ever will do wrong. And yet he still loves me, and yet he's still my friend. Oh, boy, what a friend, what a friend. Can I just tell you a little bit about my friend this morning? Let me just show you two or three things. I see the letter F in friend today. When we think about he's the chiefest among 10,000, man. We think about his position and his royalty and who he is. Let's just think about it. I think about the letter F today. When I come to it, I begin to think about what does that stand for when we're talking about Christ today. Let me give you this word and then let me explain. I thought about the word forsake. Forsake or forsook. You say, well, preacher, I thought he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother and he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Let me explain. When I began to think about Christ this morning, the first thing that went to my mind was this. What he chose to walk away from. What he chose to leave. What he chose to forsake. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible said this in John 3. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. John 6:38 said this, I am come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 6:51 said this, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Listen to what the Bible said in Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When I think about my friend this morning, number one, I think about what he forsook. What did he forsake? He forsook the portals of glory. Jesus Christ, you say, what was the beginning of Jesus? There has never been a beginning of Jesus. Well, I got three amens. Let me say it again. There has never been a beginning of Jesus. We must see him in his deity. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I've said this before. That's uniplurality. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always been. He's co-equal with God. He's co-eternal with God. He's co-existent with God. He's co-powerful with God because he is God. But there was a day that he chose to leave the portals of glory, and his humanity began in a manger in Bethlehem one day. Can I say something to you? Here's what he chose to leave. He chose to leave the throne of God. He chose to leave the peace of heaven. He chose to leave sitting beside of his Father and ruling of this world. Why did he choose to do that? Because he loved you and he loved me. He chose to forsake heaven and come to earth and walk on earth and bleed and die so you and I could live with him one day in heaven. My friend this morning, he forsook. Let me tell you what a true friend does. There's times that they walk away to help you. Jesus walked away from heaven. Jesus walked away from God. Jesus walked away from his throne to come here. So F this morning, I see what he forsook. R this morning, I thought about this. I thought about the word remission. I thought about the word remission. That word remission is very interesting. Whenever you study it out, and the first thing probably that goes to our mind, or the first thing that goes to my mind, is a disease, is a sickness. And we hear those words that you want to hear. They are in remission. In other words, it's under control now, is what they're saying. Can I just say something to you today? And I'm going to give you some scripture here in just a minute. But can I say something to you today? We was born in sin. Are you hearing me preach? We was born in sin. Every one of us sitting here today was born sinners. David said this, that he was shapen in iniquity. In other words, all because of the mess up in the garden in Genesis chapter number 3, there was sin in our life. Our bloodline is corrupt today. We're all sinners, worthy to die and go to hell. Oh, but there was one that is my friend this morning. morning that was willing to forsake heaven and come to earth. And because he was willing to bleed and to die and to suffer and to resurrect and to ascend back into the heavens today, if I will but by faith put my trust in him, thank God I can be put in remission of sin today. You see, my sin don't have to take me to hell today. Amen. I'm trying to be dignified, and I feel like preaching a little while this morning. Because of my sin, I don't have to go to hell today. Because of my faults, I don't have to go to hell today. Because of my failures, I don't have to go to hell today. Here's the reason why. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God for the remission that we can have today. Listen to what the Bible said. Luke chapter number 24. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, that the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Listen to what he said in Acts chapter number 2. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter number 26. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for what? The remission of sin. See, you got one of two choices today. If you're sitting here this morning and you're lost and on your road to hell, you got one or two choices today. You can accept the remission for sin, or you can forsake the remission of sin. And if you forsake it, you choose in your own will, you choose in your own power to turn away and to walk away from everything that this friend Jesus is offering you. Oh yes, the remission this morning. Hey, they couldn't, nobody else bring it. We can go back to that Old Testament, Brother Gray. We can look all through that typology in that Old Testament. That high priest would come in and would make sacrifice for himself and then for somebody else. But the next year they had to be another lamb slain. They had to be another turtle dove slain. They had to be another sacrifice. Oh, but thank God when Jesus showed up on the scene, our great high priest took the place of the order of Melchizedek. And now there is remission for sin today. Well, I think about this. I think about my friend, what he forsook. I think about the remission that he brings. But I got to I. This is a bad thing about doing an acrostic. Y'all know how many points I got. But I got to I, and I thought, well, what are we going to put there? What are we going to put there? So I went to my computer, and I went to the dictionary, and I put in letters that start with I. There's all kinds of letters that starts with I. And I read through, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 it seemed like, and nothing happened. So I just went on to E. But I'm going to preach I. Okay, I got one. I had to come back to it. Are you with me? I come back to it, and here's really all I could think about with I. In Exodus chapter number 3, you study and God has chose to use Moses, excuse me, to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt's land. And he tells Moses, he said, you go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses has more than likely got a speech impediment, whenever you study it out. And Moses goes back to God and says, who am I to do that? And God says, you just go do what I told you to do. And then Moses goes back to God, and Moses says to God, but whom shall I say sent me? In other words, who do I tell Pharaoh these orders are coming from? See, that makes a difference. That makes a difference. I can go back there and say, Brother Rodney, you need to do this. And he'd say, why? And I'd say, because Sheriff said so. And he'd say, yes, sir. You see who the orders, y'all following me? Who the orders are coming from makes a difference. So Moses says to God, who do you want me to tell Pharaoh sent me? Here's what God told Moses in Exodus chapter 3 about verse number 14. He said, you just tell him the I am that I am has sent thee. The I am that I am. Now, can I just be real honest and bring you into my mind? You don't need to be there long, okay? But can I bring you into my mind for just a minute? If I was God, after I said that, I'd have went. Did y'all catch that? What did he say? He said, you just go tell him I am. I am. So when I come to I thought, what am I going to put here? And this is just what I decided to put. I am. He said, I am hath sent thee. Well, I am what? Whatever I want to be. Can I tell you something about my friend? Can I just tell you? He's whatever I need him to be. Amen. Some of us has got some friends that understand that we can call them in the midnight hour when things is going south and can get things took care of and nobody ever knows about it. Somebody, I mean, the low-gap mafia is still real. Somebody say amen. All right. But I'm telling you about somebody that I can call in the midnight hour when everything's going south, when everything's going wrong, and I don't understand why things are going the way that they are, and I can cry. True friends you can cry with, by the way. You know what I'm saying? You can just sit down and snot and cry and laugh all at the same time. But I can call them in the midnight hour when I can't call nobody else. And guess what? The I am is there. He's what? He's I am. You know, everybody else follows that up with something. I am a pastor. I am a father. I am a husband. I am this. I am that. God didn't follow it up with nothing. Here's what he followed it up with. I am that I am. So you know what he's saying? I am a father. I am a brother. I am a sister. I'm a lily of the valley. I'm the bright morning star. I'm the one that's altogether lovely. Just whatever you need, I've got good news. My friend is that today. I am. I am that I am. You said, preacher, I walked in here this morning with a broken heart. I am is here. Said, preacher, I walked in here bitter this morning. I am is here. Said, preacher, I walked in here lost this morning. I am is here. Hallelujah. He said, I am that I am. So can I tell you about my friend? He forsook heaven to come love you so you could have remission of sin. And he can be there. His phone line's never busy. You ever call somebody and they never answer? Brother Ricky Gravely, I love Brother Ricky Gravely. He's one of the greatest preachers there is today. But he does not know how to answer a phone. Matter of fact, I called a guy yesterday two or three different times, and I ended up calling another guy. And I said, hey, man, I've tried to call Lieutenant two or three different times. He said, he didn't answer, did he? And I said, no, he don't ever answer. But you know what? There's never been a time that I haven't picked up the phone and Jeremiah 33:3 is his number. Call unto me and I'll answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest. Hallelujah. He's there. I am. He, the things he forsook, the remission, the I am. Watch this. I got to hurry. Y'all ready to go? That honey's starting to get out of my throat now. I come to the letter E and I thought about that. Well, what is this friend this morning? When I come to the letter E, here's what he is. He's everlasting. He's everlasting. He's everlasting. Here's what the Bible said in Proverbs 17. A friend loveth at all times. Here's what he said in Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive. Watch this forevermore. Then I really like this. Amen. I have the keys of hell and of death. My friend's everlasting today. He's not going to wear out. His batteries are not going to go dead. The phone line's not going to be cut. He's everlasting. He's everlasting. He always has been. He always will be. He's not going to die. Are you with me this morning? It's hard to bury loved ones. It's hard to bury our friends sometimes. But can I tell you something? This friend that I'm telling you about this morning, he is everlasting. Can I show you something else? I come to the letter N. I told you I'm going to get done right here. But I come to the letter N. I could preach another hour, I promise you. But I'm not. I come to the letter N, and here's what I thought about. I'm going to get in trouble right here. We might have to go to Taco Bell for lunch. Have y'all ever, Brother Caleb, I'll just talk to you a minute. Have you ever been around anybody that their moods changes? And you can go to Taco Bell with us. I mean, I'm not picking on Miss Caitlin or nothing. We've been picking on her because she's pregnant. And y'all know the way pregnant women are. Aaron hollered, amen. I mean, one minute they love you, the next minute they hate you. I got a wife and three daughters, and I've come to this conclusion. They don't have to be pregnant. Somebody say amen this morning. Y'all's wives ain't here. Stand up and shout, boys. Y'all scared they're watching, ain't you? They up, they're down. I remember one time, I'm in so much trouble. I might as well just dive on in and drown now. I remember one time, Miss Leslie was pregnant, and she was just having one of them days. You know what I mean, Brother DC? She was just having one of them days. And I don't know why she thought, Brother Lloyd, she just thought everybody was against her. And she looked at me and she started crying. Called me and she said, my mama's my friend. My mama loves me and my mama's my friend. And I said, I'm glad. I love your mama. She's a great woman. Now, do you think I was going to say anything against it? But if you ever had a friend, man, you just didn't know, you know what it's going to be. You know whether to call them or not. You know whether to talk to them or not. Come on now, everybody. We like that just every once in a while a man gets like that, but not much. But you just don't ever know. You're afraid sometimes. Can I talk to them about this? Can I not talk to them about this? You just don't ever know how they're going to be. I'll tell you something, I sure am glad God ain't like that. You ever get the silent treatment? I'm going to know a lot about it when I get home today. You ever get the silent treatment? Aren't you glad God's not like that? Aren't you glad it don't matter? I'm talking about this friend of mine this morning. It don't matter how I treat him. And I'm not saying we should treat him wrong, but we do because we're human. It don't matter how I treat him. It don't matter how long I go without talking to him. Because there's times when life gets busy. Let's just be real honest this morning. And put away our halos and put away our wings. And we go a space of time and we don't fellowship with him like we should. We don't call him like we should. We don't spend time with him like we should. Oh, but aren't you thankful that every time that we go back to him, he says this, for I am the Lord thy God and I change not. He's never changing. He's always the same. He's always forgiving. He's always loving. He's always extending an extra hand. Thank God for a friend that never changes. He never changes. D. That's where you all been wanting to get to, isn't it? D. I thought about what is the letter D. Here's what I thought about. This friend, he's a deliverer. He's a deliverer. He's a deliverer. I began to think about Miss Tanya, wherever you're at. There you are. You start playing soft. I began to think about different stories in the Bible. And of course, my mind went to a lot of Old Testament stories right now just because we're going through that Old Testament on Wednesday nights. But my mind went to John chapter number 8. And I read back through a story in John chapter number 8. And when we come to John chapter number 8, it's 12:02. Give me about 4 or 5 minutes and I'll be done. When we come to a story in John chapter number 8, there's a lady, according to the people that brought her to Christ. I'm not saying that they was wrong. I don't know. I'm just saying the accusation. Be careful judging people off of accusations sometimes. The accusation was she was caught in the very act of adultery. That was the accusation. A couple questions that I would have liked to ask that day is this. Number one, what was you doing there? If you caught her in the act of it, why was you there? It got quiet right then. Somebody comes with the hottest gospel. How do you know it? What was you doing there? Well, it's getting real quiet. I'll just keep moving, okay? In John chapter 8, she's caught the accusation that she's in the very act of adultery. She's brought to Jesus. They want to stone her. They want to kill her. That's what the law said do. They wanted to kill her for what she had done. Jesus kneels down, begins to write in the sand that day. I wonder what he wrote. We could speculate all day. Did he write some of the law? I don't know. I wonder if he knelt down and began to write the things her accusers had done. Are you with me? All I know this, whenever he came up, they was all gone. He said, you that was without sin, you cast the first stone. He was the only one that could cast a stone. He was the only one worthy to cast a stone. But he didn't. And here's what he says. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know what he done? He delivered her that day from a life that she was in. My mind goes to John chapter number 4. Remember the story of John chapter number 4? He said, I must needs go through Samaria. When he got to Samaria there that day, that Samaritan woman was to have nothing to do with the Jews, so she was confused why he was even talking to her to begin with, you that knows your Bible. And he says this, why don't you go call your husband? She says, I have no husband. He said, yeah, you're right. He said, you've had 5. That's what he tells her. Go read. I'm just telling you, read John chapter 4. Said you had 5, and right now the man you're living with ain't your husband. Just calls her out right there. Everybody says, I want a preacher like Jesus. No, you don't. You couldn't handle it. You might as well say amen. He calls her out. Says you're shacked up right now. You ain't even married to the man you're with right now. You know what ends up happening that day? She ends up leaving her water pot. Getting saved, goes back into the city to the men, because that's who she knew the best, and says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Let me tell you what happened. God delivered her that day. But probably, my favorite one was Mark chapter number 5 as I read back through. In Mark chapter number 5, it's known as the demoniac from Gadara, a demon-possessed man. And before we judge this demon-possessed man, how many times have we made this statement? We've all got our own demons. How many times have we said that? We all got our own things that we battle with. Me and Brother Aaron sometimes will bounce things off of each other after calls and things that we battle with. And sometimes we talk about our past and things that we've all got our own demons. So this demoniac from Gadara approaches Jesus, and Jesus begins to talk to him. He'd been in the graveyard, and they had bound him with fetters and chains, and he would break the chains. He'd get away, and everybody was scared to death of him. But that day, he met a man by the name of Jesus that's my friend. And Jesus began to talk to him that day. And he ends up casting those demons out. They go into a herd of swine. They run off into the pond. The Bible said this about that man that day, that he went home clothed and in his right mind. Let me tell you what happened. He got delivered. You may have walked in here today, and I don't know what that demon is that you're dealing with. But can I tell you something? My friend can deliver you today. This I am that I am, whatever it is that you need today, if you're lost, there's remission of sin. Are you with me? If you've got a broken heart, all you got to do is bring it to Him. He's the only one that'll ever be able to fix it. Whatever you're battling with today, He is a deliverer today. Do you remember the day that He delivered you? I remember the day He delivered me. And if you can't remember that day, I sure am glad that today can be the day that Christ will deliver you. I ask you this question. You know my friend. You know him. Can I just put it in some Surrey County terms? He's a good one. He's a good one, man. You can count on him. No matter what time, day or night, he'll be there. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter if your mind's messed up riding a Harley down the road trying to make it home, he'll get on it with you, lead it to the place it needs to go, and deliver you from a lifestyle of sin. That's him. Man, I feel like shouting. I'm telling you, that's him. Do you know him? Do you know him? That's my friend. That's my friend. Our